Matthew chapter 18. I want you to take a pen and draw it between verses 22 and 23. We're going to come back to that, but we're going to start out by reading the last verse, verse 35. So Matthew chapter 18 and verse 35. Tell you a little bit about me. I was born in Arkansas, and my parents moved to Michigan while I was a child, and I was really raised in Michigan, southwestern Michigan. And I got saved at age 11 on a Sunday night. The preacher, we went to an American Baptist church, deader than a doornail. And that's all I ever knew. And so went there, and the preacher preached on hell on a Sunday night. And, oh my goodness. I thought he was talking right to me. And I mean, it dawned on me. I said, I'm headed for hell. And I went down to altar and was crying. I didn't know what to do. And my Sunday school teacher came, put her arm around me and prayed for me, but never opened the Bible. A deacon came by, prayed for me, never opened the Bible. And so I went home the same way that I went. And I got a bath that night, put my pajamas on, was standing on the second floor of a old country house and farmhouse. And I was bawling my eyes out. Of course, Mama, God bless her. God bless her. She saw her, heard her son crying. So she went upstairs and said, what's the matter? I said, Mama, I'm headed for hell. And I don't want to go to hell. And my mom opened up to Romans 10:13 and said, well, son, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then she said to me, it doesn't mean maybe. She said, get in your room, get on your knees, and ask Christ to save you. And I did at age 11, best thing that ever happened to me. The first 15 years of my Christian life, I was in the American Baptist denomination. I was not taught to read the Bible, didn't know anything about Holy Spirit power, didn't know anything about soul winning, didn't know any of that at all. And then I met Dr. Jack Hiles and Dr. John Rice in 1972, Grace Baptist Church, South Bend, Indiana, and my whole world was turned right side up. I sat on the front row, and I heard these two great men, and I tell you, I was astounded. And Dr. Rice was, if you heard Dr. Rice, you turned out, oh my goodness. You're talking about a special man of God. He was a special man of God. His eyes were fixed. He had to turn his head to look at you like that. He couldn't just roll his eyes to look at you like scare the fire out of you. You'd be walking along, all of a sudden he turns and how are you? And Dr. Rice got up. He had editor of the Sword of the Lord at that conference, and he said, how many of you take the Sword of the Lord? Not very many hands were raised. Oh, he said. He took his glasses off. He used to chew on the end of his glasses. And he looked down like that, and he said, huh. He said, how many of you take a newspaper? All the hands went up. Oh, he said, I see. You'd rather read about some Hollywood whore than you would Jesus. Is that right? Is that right? And I'm sitting on the front row, and I said to the man next to me, I said, did he just say a whore? And the guy said, yes, and I think he's fixing to say a whole lot more. And we love John Rice because he's dead. But he was blunt. He was a blunt, very blunt man of God. He made you mad and thought you ought to love him for it. It was just Dr. Rice. And then, of course, the special man of God in my life was Dr. Hiles. And a part of the first four-year class of Hiles Anderson College. I traveled with Dr. Hiles for 22 years. And I miss him. I miss him terribly. My wife is very ill. She is homebound, so you pray for her. Lee Ann is her name. And I would be very, very appreciative if you would. She's had 42 surgeries, and she's been through just about everything a dear person can go through. I've written 35 books. I don't make any money off the books. It goes back into writing new books. So those are available over there. And we have a whatchamacallit with a thingamajig, a credit card thing there. And so we swipe your card and keep it. You get the book. Well, you're listening, weren't you? Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. Let's stand and stretch just for a moment here, please. Matthew 18 and verse 35. I'm in my 46th year of ministry, and April 2nd was when I was licensed ordained. This is my 46th year. I've been in every state in the Union but one, North Dakota, 17 foreign countries, and I'm going to Guatemala. First time I've ever been to Guatemala. I'm looking forward to that. And anyway, it's good to be here and good to see you again, my brother. God bless you. That's enough. That's as nice as I'm going to be to you. Matthew 18, verse 35. The Bible says, so likewise, so whatever precedes this now is being summarized here. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Underline the word there. Their trespasses. I want to talk to you about the word forgiveness. If I could get every Christian in the world in one room and teach them one great truth from the Word of God of people who are saved, baptized, and working for God, it would be this subject here on forgiveness. There's nothing that hinders us more than the fact that we don't understand forgiveness. And so I want you to listen carefully, get a pen out, and take some notes. This is Sunday school. So you're going to school. And we'll give you a test at the end of the class. And if you flunk, you're going to the nursery. That's where you're going. So let's pray and get started. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for church. My goodness, I don't know how in the world people make it and claim to be saved and don't go to church. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. You're welcome. Please come. Walk up down these aisles. Go from pew to pew and person to person and meet with us today, please. Thank you for this opportunity. And God, just talk to us. Don't let this be a typical Sunday morning. Make it a special Sunday morning, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Now, it's important to understand that all you have in your family are people. All you have in your neighborhood are people. All you have when you go to work is a bunch of people. When you go to church, you got nothing but a bunch of people. And because all we around us all the time are people, they're all different people. And they have different likes and dislikes. Now, if we're not careful, that could be a rub. If we're not careful, some of that likes one thing, some of that doesn't like it. If you get in an argument about it, you're going to have problems. You came to church this morning in a car with moving parts. The only reason that engine didn't lock up on you in that car is because of oil. And the oil in there allowed all that friction to be done away with and the movement of all those parts, and so you've got motion and you get where you want to get. We cannot survive without the oil of the Holy Spirit of God. The oil of the Holy Spirit of God will allow us to all be different, but yet allow us to be able to work together. This is a terrible analogy, but in Texas, it's the Cowboys for football. It's the Cowboys. Now, we could win if we could ever get them out of jail. By the way, our players are always in jail. But if I go to a different part of the country, it may be in Tennessee, it may be the Titans, it may be Green Bay. When I go to Wisconsin, it's the Packers, and so on. Now, that may seem like a simple analogy, but the truth is, let's face it, we all have different likes and dislikes. We have to be very careful that it doesn't build into something that will cause us divide us. Because of the Holy Spirit of God, we're able to function together. Do you have anybody in your family like I have that knows everything, been everywhere, done everything? You can't get a word in edgewise. And it drives you crazy when you start getting together at Thanksgiving or Christmas and you just, oh man, here we go again. But you, with the Holy Spirit of God, you'll find that we'll be able to function together and yet be different. And I'm not talking about doctrine-wise. I'm not talking about what we believe in the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about silly things that shouldn't really be a part of any differences that we have with each other. Now, with that in mind, here we go. We're ready to write this down? Write down the word forgive. Now, the topic is forgiveness, okay? That's the topic of the Sunday school lesson. But write down the word forgive, and I'll help you. To forgive is hard. Write that down. To forgive is hard. To forgive is hard. It is hard to forgive. When someone does something to me or mine or my wife, my family, my children, my church, whatever it is, and then I get hurt, and then they see it, and then they say, oh, I'm sorry, forgive me. Well, yeah, easy for you to say. You're not the one that said that awful thing about my wife. You're not the one that said that awful thing about my children, my church, my preacher, whatever. How could you do that? But now you just want me to forgive. Now, for me to do that's hard. Because you've hurt me and you've hurt mine. You got that? You've hurt me and you've hurt mine. Say that with me. You've hurt me and you've hurt mine. So to forgive is what? Hard. Say it out loud. To forgive is hard. So for me to forgive you when you hurt me and mine, Hey, you're a Christian. You're supposed to forgive me. Yes, I am. But that doesn't make it easy. To make it easy at all. But am I supposed to? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Write down forgiven. The word forgiven. Got the word forgive. That's hard. To be forgiven, next to that, write easy. easy. It's easy to be forgiven. It is hard to forgive, but it is easy to be forgiven. You say, what do you mean? Okay, if I say something that offends you, and all of a sudden you bristle, and I say to myself, oh my goodness, what have I done? And I say to you, look, I'm sorry, I thought you knew your wife was ugly. That's a joke, folks, that's a joke. And so then I said, look, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Now, wait a minute now. That's easy. For me to ask you to forgive me, that's easy. But for you to forgive me, buddy, that's hard. Now, we have both. We have both. You have had times in your life when you said, I've got to forgive, but this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And times when you asked to be forgiven, when you didn't realize that you caused any trouble. All right? Sometimes I preach and somebody will meet me at the door and say, you talking about me? I didn't even know you were here. Every once in a while we had such a big crowd, I would say, wake up, wake up! And a lady walked out one day, she said, how did you see me sleeping back there? I don't know. Everybody sleeps when I preach. So let's back up. To forgive, hard or easy? Hard. Okay? To be forgiven, hard or easy? Easy. Now, it's hard because you have hurt me, say it, and mine. Say it with me. You have hurt me, and you've hurt mine. That's why it's hard. Or to be forgiven is easy because you've hurt them, and you've hurt theirs. It's not you. And it just dawned on you. That was stupid what I said. You know, it was dumb what I said. I really didn't mean that. Maybe you were joking. Maybe you meant it. But the truth of the matter is, forgiveness is vital here. Now, please, listen careful. The word forgiveness, I want to break it down into two parts. The actual word for, the English word forgiveness, break it down into two parts. Here it is. One is to send away. You break the English word forgiveness down to send away. So when there's hurt, to actually have the word Bible forgiveness completely understood, it's to send away. The second part of that word is from. From. So the English word forgiveness is to send away from, which means it exists. So it exists and I want it gone. Nobody likes to fuss. I don't care. Nobody likes it. It makes you sick to your stomach. If somebody doesn't like you, upset with you, you're upset with them, it just makes you sick to your stomach. Because the reason that is because you are justified. You're a just person, which means the scales have been balanced. Jesus has paid for your sins. And those scales are balanced. And when things aren't balanced between you and other people, it hurts. Because it's not balanced. Now, please understand, to forgive, hard or easy? Hard, very good. To be forgiven, hard or easy? Easy. Now it's hard because you hurt me and you've hurt mine, okay? And it's easy because I've hurt them and I've hurt theirs. Now the word forgiveness, actual word forgiveness, comes from two parts of the English word. To send, help me, to send away. Talk to me. To send away. And second part is from, which means it exists. All right? So in your life, both have existed to where you knew you had to forgive, but it's so hard because the hurt is so deep. And I've got to do it. I've got to do it. But that's hard. Now to be forgiven, oh, that's easy. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. Please forgive me. And so both of those are there. Now, here's the thing about us. When we're hurt, we act like we're the most innocent person that has ever walked on planet Earth. When you hurt me, we go, why did you do that to little old me? Why, I've never hurt anybody. I've never gossiped about anybody. I've never said a bad word about anybody. And you know what they call you in the Bible? A liar. Some point in your life, you hurt somebody. At some point in your life, you are hurt by somebody. So we've got to discover from the Bible, how in the world do we handle this mess? We've got to be able to handle it. More church splits over stupid things than anything else in the world. Not doctrine. It's over stupid person has stupid things that should not happen at all. Okay? Now, so, word forgiveness comes from two parts. The first part is to send away. Second part is from. All right, now there's a law of sowing and reaping in the Bible, right? Okay, so at some time or another, when you're hurt, first thing that will pop in your mind is, I'm guilty. Not about this, but I'm guilty about something that happened in my past. Because nothing, this law of sowing and reaping is a real law in the Bible. Now, when it comes, don't act so innocent. When you get hurt, just realize you also have hurt. And what God's trying to do is to balance the scales. That's what He's trying to do. All right? Now, let me give you some examples, if I may, out of the book of Leviticus. Write this down. Leviticus chapter 16. Don't run from the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the story form of that which gives a parameter for doctrines in the New Testament. So when you read the Old Testament, don't run from the Old Testament. Because it's God's way of taking something, a story, and He's teaching His people so that you can understand a doctrine in the New Testament. Okay, you got that? So, in Leviticus chapter 16, there are two examples that God teaches the nation Israel about forgiveness so that they can understand it. Number one, two goats. Write that down. Two goats. In Leviticus 16, He said to His people, I want you to take two goats. I want you to kill the first one. Take the blood, put it on the head of the second live goat, and send it into the wilderness, never to come back again. So God is saying, I want you to understand what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is an innocent goat paying the price, and then the second goat having it sent away in the wilderness, never to come back again. All right. Second example in Leviticus chapter 16, two doves. Two doves. God said, I want you to take two doves. I want you to take the first dove and kill it. I want you to take that blood now and put it on the live dove you got there. And then I want you to take that live dove and let it go. Now, what's the word forgiveness? It's to send away from. So what is He teaching the nation Israel? He's teaching them how to forgive. What forgiveness is. And forgiveness is taking two goats, killing one, putting blood on the live goat, and sending it away, never to come back again. Also take two doves, kill one, put the blood on the second live dove, and let it go, never to come back again. So He is teaching us then what forgiveness is. Now, are the goats innocent? Yeah. Innocent, absolutely. Were the doves innocent? Absolutely they were innocent. Was Jesus innocent? Absolutely. So apparently, as I understand the Bible, the innocent must pay. Now, this goes against our grain, but it's biblical. The innocent must pay before it can be sent away. That's what He was teaching the nation Israel. The innocent goat must pay before the second goat can be sent away. The innocent dove must pay before it can be sent away. So when we talk about to forgive, hard or easy? Hard. To forgive, hard or easy? Hard. To be forgiven, hard or easy? Easy. Okay. Are we guilty of both? Okay, don't answer me then. We all are. You know we are. Okay. Now, when we think about the word forgiveness, there's two parts. To send away from. In Leviticus 16, He said, I want you to first take two what? Goats. What are we going to do with that first goat? We're going to kill that goat. We're going to put the blood on that goat. Second live goat, right? Sit in the wilderness, never to come back. Then He said, take two what? Doves. What are we going to do with that first dove? Kill it. We're going to put the blood on the second live dove and then let it go. All right. Now, were the goats innocent? Yes. Were the doves innocent? Was Jesus innocent? Were we guilty? Wow. So here's the Bible principle. The innocent must pay before it can be sent away. This is what God is teaching. The innocent must pay before it can be sent away. You and I are guilty, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So Jesus paid, but He had no sin on Him until He paid for us. So God said, the innocent must pay before it can be sent away. Let me give you some scripture here. 103 and verse 12. Psalm 103, verse 12. God describes it, as far as the east is from the west, so he hath removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103, verse 12. In Psalm 103, verse 12, God said, let me tell you about your sins. Your sins have been pitched out there, and they're just going around like this all over the place. There is no east pole, there is no west pole. So when those sins, your sins are cast out there, they never land anywhere. They're gone. That's what God does with your sins. Well, somebody say amen. I mean, they're gone. Gone, gone, gone. Thank God. You better praise God every day that those sins are gone. And by the way, all your sins were future sins because Jesus died 2,000 years ago. So when I got saved at age 11, he not only forgave me from 1 to 11, but from 12 on. Because all my sins were future sins. All right, let me give you another verse, please. Isaiah 38:17. Isaiah 38:17. Isaiah 38:17. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. So God said, we come to Jesus, and Jesus, please save me. Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. Please, I'm trusting you to pay for my sins. All right? I'm guilty. Jesus is innocent. So God transfers my sins to the one who is innocent. And then what does he do? Puts them behind his back where he doesn't look at them. He gets rid of them. And thank God he does. Sometimes I hear preachers, they'll preach something like, oh, you better be good, because God's got a video camera following you around. And everything you've ever done in your life at the judgment seat of Christ, all that bad's going to show up at the judgment seat of Christ. That's not true. Because all sin was paid at Calvary. Calvary paid for all sins. So those sins are all gone. No. What good works and bad works you do is going to be judged, but not your sin. Your sin was judged at Calvary. I trusted what Jesus did 2,000 years ago to save me from all my past sins, present sins, and future sins, all gone, all in his record. All right? How about this one? Micah 7:19. Micah 7:19. Micah 7:19. Thou wilt cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Over and over, Micah 7:19, over and over in the scripture, he's explained to us, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with your sins. Because you've let Jesus, the innocent one, pay. Here's what I'm going to do with your sins. I'm going to take them and pitch them out as far as the east is from the west, and they'll never land anywhere. Well, hallelujah, I like that one. Then he said, now hold it, now Jesus is innocent, so I'll put all, you're guilty, I'll put all these sins on him, and then I'm going to take your sins and put them behind my back. Hallelujah, I like that too. Then he said, on top of that, I'll tell you what else, just to kind of give you an illustration of what I'm doing. Jesus, who's innocent, is going to take all, at age 11, I'm saying, Jesus, save me. He transferred all my sins upon, who was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. He was perfect. Virgin birth, virgin life, virgin death, virgin resurrection, and hallelujah. Okay, so now he says, I've taken him and thrown him in the depths of the sea, never be brought up again. Woo, I like that. Because that means that, who was innocent, Jesus or me? Jesus was. Who was guilty, Jesus or me? We were guilty. But thank God we had enough sense to realize that we can't pay. If we go to hell, if you're going to go to hell to pay for your sins, you'll never get out. Because you can never pay. But if you trust Jesus, his death, his burial, and resurrection. Power over death, hell, and the grave. In fact, the Bible says he's got the keys to hell. Satan can't even go home. He got the keys to hell. All right. Now, let me give you a thought here quickly. Now, the innocent must pay now before it can be sent away. How do we apply this to us? How do we apply this to us? All right. You ready? Romans 12:21. Romans 12:21. We're going to apply this to you and me here in 2018. Romans 12:21. The Bible says, overcome evil with good. So it says, overcome evil with good. God's teaching us now. Overcome evil with good. Evil, in every verse in the Bible, you have to look at it within the context of the verse. The word evil is a word that means pain, hurt. Oh, it's not wickedness, it's hurt, pain. So when evil comes my way, when somebody hates on me, and it hurts, I mean it's deep and it hurts, how am I to respond? The Bible says you respond with good. You overwhelm the evil, baptize all that evil, make your good greater than the evil that's coming your way. Now, but you say, wait a minute, I'm innocent. What they said about me is a lie. That's not true what they said. That's not true at all. Not at all. How dare they say that about me? How dare they say that about me? That's a lie straight out of hell. I'll tell you what, I'll fix them. I'll tell you, I'll fix them for sure. But that's not the Bible way. It's not the Bible way at all. That's not how you got saved. You got saved because you were guilty. And Jesus, who was innocent, said, I'll take it. I'll take it. Okay, then when you do this to me, then you're going to have to say, I'll take it. I'll take it. How am I going to respond? I'm going to do good. Now, I'm not going to let you know about it. Because then it's tit for tat. I'm not going to do that. A lady in Oklahoma, I taught this lesson. She came down and she said, there's a woman in this church I've hated for years. I've hated her guts. And I'm fixed to go tell her about it and get it straight. I said, don't. Don't. That's not the answer. That is just back and forth. It's like your internet that you get back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. What a waste of time. Now, please understand what he's saying. The innocent must pay before it's sent away. So when you say that about me and I'm innocent, it didn't happen. Okay, so I'm innocent. Then act like Jesus. That's who you are. You know what Christians are? The word Christian means Christ-like. Little Christ. So I've got to represent Christ like Christ represented me. And so I give good back. Okay, you ready for another one? Matthew 5:44. In Matthew 5:44 says, bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. Okay? So when I am cursed, and I say, where in the world did they get that from? Good grief, where did that... Man, I've heard some wild tales about me. I don't even like me. I've heard so many bad things about me, I don't even like me. People are funny, aren't they? They don't even know you. But they form opinions about you. Now, please understand that when that happens in this way, I'm innocent. Okay, good. Then why don't you bless them? Why don't you go ahead, be a Jesus. Be Jesus-like. And bless it. Hard, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit will help you. He'll give you power. And I'm telling you, there's nothing in the world like knowing that you did something good for an enemy and he doesn't know it. Because God gets the glory then. All right? You ready for some more? Romans 12:14 says, bless them which persecute you. Bless them which persecute you. So what that persecute you means over. And over and over, it's continual, over and over and over and over. So they do it again, they do it again, they do it again, they do it again. Oh, I want to kill somebody. I want to wring somebody's neck. Look how they're ruining my name. They're ruining everything. This is, what am I going to do? Well, the Bible says bless them. So be a blessing to them. Be a blessing to them. This is so good. Man, this is so good. Who knows, you might start smiling after a while again. Who knows? You might even start tithing again. You might even start going soul winning again. You know, you just might get some life to you again. Now, thank God for this. Now, I don't have time to go through all of it. You know enough verses yourself that you could. But for 2 Corinthians 14:12 says it. Matthew 5:44 says it. And on it says. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 18 and let's pick up with verse 23 and see if we can put this thing together. All right? Now, to forgive is... hard. Good. To be forgiven is easy. The word forgiveness means to send away from. Leviticus says to God's people, I want you to learn how to forgive, so I want you to take two goats. All right. Then he says, I want you to take the innocent goat and kill it. Showing that Jesus is innocent. Got it? Okay. Then the second, I want you to take two doves. What are we going to do the first dove? Kill it. Put the blood of the second live dove and let it go. Was the dove innocent? Yes. Was the goat innocent? Was Jesus innocent? Are we guilty? Okay. So don't put your rocks down. Put your rocks down. There's no sense in it. Throwing rocks at somebody else. You just don't want to admit that you're wrong. Moving along here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, boys and girls, in verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which had taken account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, that's an accounting term, balance the books, one was brought unto him that owed him, look at this, 10,000 talents. Now, in the Bible, you have talents of silver and talents of gold. This does not say which it is. But if it were, let's say, a talent of silver, that'd be $2,000 a talent. If it was a talent of gold, it would be $30,000 a talent. Which means this guy owed, get this now, between $20 million to $300 million. That's as much as my wife's Visa card. Which owed 10,000 talents. This old boy is in terrible debt, isn't he? All right, then take a look at verse 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Hallelujah. Man, can you imagine somebody forgiving you a debt of $20 million to $300 million? See, they had compassion. Now, verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. What's a pence? 17 cents. What do you owe him? 17 bucks. He was just forgiven for $20 million to $300 million debt. He's going out looking for somebody who owes him money. He finds this guy, owes him $17. What does he do? And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. What a blessing that guy is. He grabbed him by the throat and said, you better pay me that 17 bucks. Wait a minute. He's been forgiven $20 million to $300 million. All right, verse 29. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked what? Servant. O thou wicked servant. Now, question, is he a servant? Yes. But is he a wicked servant? Yes. All right, let's put in there wicked usher. How about wicked Sunday school teacher? How about wicked secretary? How about wicked deacon? I like that one. Wicked deacon. How about wicked preacher? Still a servant. Been forgiven of a greater. Not going to forgive that. Not going to do it. You hurt me. You hurt me bad. I'll never forgive you. As long as I live, I'll never forgive you. God said, I'm not happy with that. My son died for you. I had to turn my back on my own son. Look, I love you people. I wouldn't be here today. I don't have to be here. I'm retired. I ought to be in Florida on a shuffleboard court. I don't have to do this. But let me tell you something. I love you people. But I don't love you enough. I've got two sons. I don't love you enough to let one of my sons die for you. I got two girls I'll give you. No, I'm kidding. But I couldn't do it. But God loved you that much. His only begotten son. I don't know how many times I've held parents in their arms who've lost their only child throughout these years, and those funerals are horrible. I know we'll see them again. But every parent knows that you're not supposed to bury your children before you. And it's tearful and it's hurtful and it's hard. Please understand what God is saying here. God is saying, don't quit being a servant, but don't be a wicked servant. Don't hold a grudge against somebody. Don't hold hate against somebody. And by the way, the truth of the matter is, action. If you react, you'll slap somebody. But if you act, what you'll do is you'll do good to overwhelm the evil. Persecution, you'll bless to overcome it. And it ought to be second nature. I was raised by hillbilly parents. I was taught to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I was. I was taught to stand up. My lady walks in the room, open the door for her, pull the chair back like that, put it back. It's just second nature to me. I can't help it. And this ERA day that we're living in, some of these women get mad at you. I was on the bus. I said, ma'am, have a seat. She said, what? You think you're better than me? Just like that. And I said, I don't think so. In fact, I think you're better than I am. You know, have a seat. Then she gave me a big lecture on ERA. But you know what ERA stands for? I figured it out. Eve ruined Adam. Never mind here. So here he said, O thou wicked servant, in verse 32, now I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have the compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had on him? And his Lord was wroth. Not only just said, you're a wicked Sunday school teacher, but I'm upset with you. I'm upset with you because you won't forgive somebody that's hurt you. I've knocked on the door. A little lady came to the door and she said, Pastor. And I said, yes, ma'am. Come by to visit you and your husband. And a little chihuahua. I thought, then I'm staying at the screen door. So, said, don't pay no attention to that dog. That dog ain't never bit nobody. Come on in, Pastor. Opened the door, stepped in. You know what the dog did? Bit me. Right on the leg. And I was up like this. That little old thing didn't weigh 4 pounds. I'm shaking it like this. And it has to remind me of this. Here, I've been forgiven of a greater. I'm not going to hell. You're going to heaven when you die. And then you got some little old gossip over here nipping at your heel. That'll mount a hill of beans. You know that. And here's the problem. While you're staying awake at night figuring out how to get them back, they're sleeping. They're not awake at night. You're hurting yourself. All right, let's look see what it says here. And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Oh, my goodness. So the innocent ones are the ones God's upset with. The innocent ones are the ones where God's said wicked. And the innocent ones are saying, and God said, you're just tormenting yourself. Just simply tormenting yourself. Here's the way we look at things. God... Okay, God wants to salvage, we want to scrap. We got an enemy. God, let him die of the smallpox. Have a Sunday school bus run him over and we'll tell the world it's an accident. I'm trying to be funny here. we hold grudges, boy. And now even medical doctors are telling us now that cancer and a lot of things like that, we've got to have good health, you've got to have a good spirit. And I believe that. The best example is Marlene Evans. Dr. Evans' wife, Marlene, had cancer for 50. The house said, I'll send you to Mayo Clinic. Okay, send her to Mayo Clinic. Came back and said, well, you got 6 months to live. She lived another year. Okay, I'll send you back to Mayo Clinic. Send her back to Mayo Clinic. Paid for it. Came back. She said, well, I got probably 6 months. This went on for 15 years. And every year, Brother Howell's at pastor school would raise money to send her to Central America to be with her daughter, who was a missionary and husband. So this goes on pastor school. Every year, we're raising money. We're sending her. The 15th year, he got up and he said, look, Marlene, you've got to die this year. You've got to die. We can't afford to keep sending you down to Central America and you're going to keep living. And ABC News, when they had 2020, used to be on ABC News, they highlighted her at Mayo Clinic. She would hold classes for people. She was a survivor, so she would hold classes to try and help others have a good spirit about things going on in life. Please understand something here. When you say, I'm innocent, I didn't do it, don't defend yourself. The thing to do is overcome that evil with good that just completely overwhelms it without them knowing it. Don't do it tit for tat. Don't do that. You just make sure that you bless them that persecute you and so on. And when you do that, let me tell you what happened. You see, the Holy Spirit is born in your spirit. John 3, 5, 6, and 7. That's where he's born. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 says, quench not the Spirit. I use both of these, shoulder to shoulder. This, I'm going to let this represent the Spirit, my Spirit. I'm going to represent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's trying to get through your spirit to do His work. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Now, if you open up just a little bit, that's as much room as the Holy Spirit has. You open up a little bit more, and the Holy Spirit's got more room. You open up a little bit more, He's got more room. It isn't that they say, sometimes young preachers say, will you lay hands on me and pray for a double portion of the Holy Spirit? I said, I can't. Well, Isaiah said that about Elijah. Oh, yeah, but you don't understand, it's a double portion of Elijah's Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit. So your attitude this morning has everything to do with the power of God flowing through you. Your attitude. Well, I wonder why Paul said, I die daily. But you know Paul had enemies. He said, I've got to die in my flesh. If I'm going to win this victory, it can't be me.